She ignored whatever it was and smiled at Josh as she shook his hand. "A pleasure to meet you, Josh. Congratulations on the wedding. I'm honored to be here." A strawberry blonde with soft curls and a knee-length white eyelet dress walked up to them. Alexa had pegged her as the bride as soon as she'd walked into the room. Who else would wear white to a rehearsal dinner? At her approach, Alexa moved closer to Drew. He picked up his drink and sipped it, but she knew he noticed, too, because he slid his arm around her waist. Damn, there was that tingle again. "Drew? Is this Alexa? Alexa, I'm Molly. It's so nice to meet you." Molly gave her a huge smile that felt genuine, and not for the first time. Alexa wondered what the whole story was between the Molly and Drew breakup. Did Josh and Molly feel guilty for what they'd done to Drew? Did they ask him to be in the wedding to assuage their guilt? She wasn't going to get an answer to that question right now, if ever, so her job was just to stand here next to Drew and turn on the charm. Luckily, she worked in politics. Charm was her middle name. Alexa increased the wattage of her smile by at least 50%. "Molly, thank you so much for having me. Everything is lovely. What a wonderful choice for a rehearsal dinner. I can only imagine that the wedding will be just as beautiful." Drew's thumb traced circles around her hip as she and Molly exchanged bright pleasantries about the wedding, the perfect weather in the Bay Area this time of year, and Josh and Molly's upcoming honeymoon in Hawaii. Between the sensuous feel of his touch and her now-finished martini, she was almost distracted enough not to wonder if he could detect the Spanx underneath her dress. Almost. After a few minutes, Molly glanced to the corner of the room and sighed. "My mom is signaling me. I think I have to go talk to one of my aunts. I hope to get to talk to you more later, Alexa. And you too, Drew. Oh, and don't forget, the hashtag is JollyMosh." Molly smiled and glided away. They only had a few seconds before a tall, blonde woman in a tight green dress came up to the three of them. She could feel Drew tense up next to her. She reached back to find his hand and interlaced their fingers, and he held on. She didn't have long to wonder who this woman was. "Josh, there you are. Your mom was looking for you. She had a question about what time we should sit down to eat." As Josh scurried away, her smile at Drew showed all of her blindingly white teeth. "I saw my sister over here. I hope everyone's being nice to her." Drew squeezed Alexa's hand. "I hope so, too. Amy, I'd like to introduce you to my girlfriend, Alexa. Alexa, this is Amy, Molly's sister and the maid of honor." Amy raised her eyebrows at her and immediately turned back to Drew. "I hope you both have a good time at the wedding this weekend." Amy's attitude annoyed Alexa just enough that she couldn't resist putting on a show. "I'm sure we will. It's already been pretty great, hasn't it, Drew?" She winked at Drew and squeezed his hand. His eyes widened, and his smile grew smug. "It sure has, Monroe." He pulled her close. "Amy, great to see you. We were just heading to the bar for another drink. Can we get you anything?" Her eyes narrowed briefly, then her smile came back. "No, thanks." She looked at Drew and glanced in Alexa's direction before turning to go. "Nice to meet you," she flung over her shoulder. As Drew and Alexa walked, still hand in hand, back to the bar, she leaned over and whispered in his ear, "I can't tell whether she hates you or wants to fuck you." His bark of laughter made a few people look in their direction. "She definitely hates me," he said against her ear, "but she's also been acting weird all day. You see why I needed you here?" Her breasts against his chest and her lips against his ear made him want to pull her even closer, but they were in a room full of people. Oh, and right, she wasn't really his girlfriend. "I do see," she said. "I think I need another drink after that interaction. I'd better switch to champagne. I can't chug martinis all night, or I'll be useless tomorrow." He wondered if she'd noticed that he was taking every opportunity to touch her all night. Some of it wasn't even conscious. He just liked the feel of her smooth skin, the warmth of her body next to his, the softness of her hand in his. "I should have said, if I do anything that bothers you tonight, you know, with the pretending you're my girlfriend thing, just let me know, okay? Step on my foot or something." She turned and grinned at him, her lips so close to his that he could kiss her with just one slight movement. Just as he started to make that move, she stepped back. "Don't worry. I will," she said. "But you're good so far. Plus, I'd be a pretty shitty fake girlfriend if I didn't let you touch me." He put his arm back around her waist. "I would never say such a thing about the best fake girlfriend I've ever had," he said. As he handed her a glass of champagne, she said, "Oh, and by the way, when did you start calling me Monroe?" He looked up from his bourbon. "Well, I thought about Lexi, but you don't strike me as much of a Lexi." She smiled at him over her champagne glass in a way that made him step closer. "Excellent instincts there. Only my sister can call me that. I'll allow Monroe for the time being." He stepped closer to her. "I promise I won't do anything you don't like. Cross my heart. Deal?" She looked at him for a long moment, and he felt the tension between them heat up again. What exactly had he meant by that? Whatever she wanted it to mean, he guessed. Finally, she reached for his hand. "Deal. Now, let's find some food to soak up all this alcohol so that you don't have to pour me in a cab at the end of the night." They followed a waiter to the corner of the room, where they loaded up plates of puff pastry pockets and crostini with prosciutto. As soon as their hands were full and they couldn't move, they were surrounded by bridesmaids. Though the bridesmaids circling them all had perfect pink lip-glossed smiles, their hostility to Drew and curiosity about Alexa was very clear. She got it, though. If any of her girlfriend's exes had showed up at their weddings, she probably would have smiled big while dropping poison in their drinks. Not enough to kill them, mind you, just enough to make them humiliate themselves. At that thought, she glanced down at Drew's drink, but he'd already drained it. Probably for the best. For the next 10 minutes, she smiled and chatted and asked questions about their bridesmaid dresses and shared her own bridesmaiding stories while Drew never let go of her hand. Her shoulders relaxed when Josh's dad beckoned everyone to the tables, and Drew's hand moved up and down her bare arm. "You see why I needed you?" he said in her ear as they sat down. She turned to him and nodded. "You'd have a peanut butter and egg salad sandwich right about now." He made a gagging face, and she laughed. Luckily, the rest of the night was less fraught, mostly because they were sitting with two other groomsmen and their dates. As they lingered over dessert, Alexa glanced at the time and sighed at how little sleep she'd be getting that night. "Something wrong?" Drew asked her, turning from his conversation with one of the other guys about basketball. "Not exactly," she said in a low voice. "It's just that I have to help my boss build this playground tomorrow, which means my alarm is going off altogether too early for a Saturday, so..." Before she'd even finished talking, he had stood up. "Let's go. You have to get your beauty sleep, though it's clear that you don't need it." She made that gagging face back at him, and he laughed. "Too much? Can't you just enjoy the compliment?" "Thank you, Dr. Drew. You're a sweetheart." She turned to pick up her coat, but stopped when she saw him violently shaking his head. "No, Dr. Drew. Never Dr. Drew. Dr. Nichols, thank you, though most of my younger patients just call me Dr. Nick." They walked by Josh and Molly on the way to the door, and Alexa pulled at his hand. "What?" He turned and saw her head inclined toward them. "Oh, right. We're taking off," he said to them. "See you tomorrow." Alexa stopped, which forced him to stop, too. "Thank you so much, both of you, for your warm welcome. I can't wait to celebrate with you tomorrow." "Thank you," Molly beamed, and then hugged her. "I'm thrilled that you'll be there." After another round of hugs and handshakes, Alexa followed Drew outside. "Where did you learn to do that?" he said to her, once they were out on the street. "Do what?" she asked him. He hadn't let go of her hand, and she certainly wasn't going to be the one to let go. "Thank you so much, both of you," he said in a high-pitched voice. She swatted him with her clutch. "We have not known each other long enough for you to make fun of my voice." "I wasn't making fun of your voice." He squeezed her hand. Okay, so he did realize they were still holding hands. "I was making fun of what you said." "Give me a break." She turned in the direction of the BART station. "Where did I learn basic social graces? Where did I learn how to say please and thank you? I don't know. I think my parents taught me when I was 2. As they moved through a crowd of people, he let go of her hand. But instead, he moved closer and put his hand on the small of her back again. She could feel herself melting inside. Was he just doing this out of habit? Probably. She tried to remember what Maddie had said. No stress date. Relax and have fun. Don't overthink things. Just enjoy it. Right. Okay. He cleared his throat. If I'd forgotten to say it, you made this night at least 200% better than it would have been without you. Maybe more. She smiled at him. I had a surprising amount of fun myself. Now, what's the plan for tomorrow? Classic, Alexa. Ignore the compliment. Change the topic to logistics. Relaxing was definitely not her strong suit. So, I was thinking. He dropped his hand from her back and turned to her with a weird look on his face. Was he bored by her? Was her sarcasm too much? Was he going to say he'd rather have a fake breakup tonight and not have her as his date for the wedding tomorrow, so he could enjoy the buffet of bridesmaids with the maid of honor as the main course? I had a great time hanging out with you, Alexa, he'd say, but I'm going to let you off the hook for tomorrow night. You don't mind, do you? And, of course, she would have to say no. She didn't mind. And she'd have to go return that hot red dress. Yeah? She pulled her coat tighter around her shoulders. Maybe you could come get ready for the wedding in my hotel room. You know, so everyone sees you leaving from the hotel. Not that I think that people think we're lying, but Amy seemed a little suspicious or something. And then you wouldn't have to... That makes sense. She cut him off, trying not to show how relieved she was. What time? His smile widened. He had probably gotten everything he wanted in his life with that smile. Who was she to break the pattern? I have to be at the church by 5, so just be there before I leave. There's a shuttle from the hotel to the church, and you can take that over so you don't have to sit around during the pictures. They walked down the street, no longer hand in hand. That sounds good. Great. They were at the entrance to the BART station now. Okay. See you tomorrow? Text me if you have any questions. He leaned in for a hug. Without stopping to think about it, she kissed him on the cheek. He pulled back and looked at her for a long moment. An ambulance roared by, and they jumped apart. He stroked her cheek with his thumb. Good night, Monroe. See you tomorrow. Chapter 5. Alexa thanked God the next morning that the real work of building the playground was for people who actually knew what they were doing. She could still keep her boss on message and banter with the press while her mind was constantly wandering to her date that night. But if she'd been operating power tools, it would have been a disaster. By the time she knocked on the door of room 1624, she was a bundle of nerves. Maybe he thought better of this? Maybe he had already checked out of the hotel and forgot to tell me? Maybe he... She didn't have a chance for another possible worst-case scenario before he opened the door. And then she was speechless for a moment. She'd thought Drew was hot in his worn gray T-shirt in the elevator, and she'd thought he was hot at the rehearsal dinner, clean-shaven in his pale blue button-down shirt. Now, in a tuxedo? He was so hot, she was afraid she wouldn't be able to look him in the eye all night. He wasn't even fully in the tux. That was the worst part. He had the shirt on, and the bow tie untied around his neck, with his hair still damp. He looked like every romantic comedy hero at the end of the night, just before the heroine pulled his shirt out of his pants and started unbuttoning. Hey! He interrupted her increasingly lurid train of thought. You're just in time. I was about to break into the snacks. Snacks? She asked. She followed him into the room, momentarily distracted from her fantasies. I got us cheese and crackers, and beer. If this is anything like most weddings, we're not going to eat for a while. I don't know about you, but I could use a drink before this night gets underway. You read my mind, she said. She dropped her tote bag on his bed and hung her dress up in the closet. I almost brought a bottle of wine, but I didn't want to start dancing on tables before the wedding even began. He disappeared into the bathroom and came out a few seconds later with two bottles of beer in his hands. Beer's in the bathroom sink. The champagne bucket was too small for a six-pack. Plus, there are two sinks, Filling one up with ice was the biggest stroke of genius I've had in a while, if I do say so myself. He cracked open both bottles, handed her one, and then raised his to her. To my wedding date, and thanks again. She took a long drink of her beer and looked around the room, trying to find something to distract herself from how much she wanted to lick that drop of condensation off his lower lip. Huge king bed, neatly made up, so housekeeping must have already come and gone. A full-length mirror by the closet. Great, she would need that while getting dressed. Floor-to-ceiling windows beyond the bed. She wandered over to the window, beer in hand, and glanced outside. Wow. The view stretched out over the sparkling bay. She could see both the gray and white bulk of the Bay Bridge and the gleam of the Golden Gate Bridge, with the bright sun overhead. "The view is something else, isn't it?" he asked. He came up behind her so close she could feel his body heat. She wanted more than anything to lean back against his warm chest. "It really is," she said, without turning around. Olivia was on this side of the hotel, too, but we were so busy talking, I didn't even look out the window. Josh and Molly got a perfect day for their wedding. She turned to him, but he'd already stepped back over to the desk. "I couldn't compete with your fancy cheese and crackers," he said, "but I did what I could." She walked over to investigate and set her beer down so that she could dig in. "I love this stuff," she said, dipping a wheat thin into the tub of herbed cream cheese. He followed suit. "You're not just saying that to be nice, or because you need to eat something so that you don't jump up on that table and start dancing. Don't hesitate to do that on my account, by the way." She took another swig of beer and grinned. "I told you, I love all forms of cheese and crackers, even that gross stuff that I used to get in my lunch as a kid with the little red plastic spreader." He flopped down on the bed with his beer and grinned at her. She could just push him all the way down and unbutton that shirt of his. Would he have chest hair? If so, not too much. That glimpse of his stomach she'd had in the elevator was branded in her memory, and there hadn't been a ton of hair there. Oh, my God, what was wrong with her? A few sips of beer and her fantasies were trying to take over. "I love that stuff. I should have bought some of that," he said. Her eyes shot back to his face, and she tried to remember what they'd been talking about. At least if her cheeks were flushed now, she could blame the alcohol. Just to make sure that excuse would work, she drained her beer. "You want another?" he asked. He stood up and moved toward the bathroom. "Sure." She took out her makeup bag and closed her eyes. This whole thing was such a bad idea. She was getting drunk in the hotel room of a hot guy she barely knew. She was getting drunk enough to fantasize about jumping a guy far out of her league. And her unwelcome fantasies were probably written all over her face because he'd rolled off the bed and moved far away from her. Oh, well. At least she was getting free cheese and crackers out of this, and beer. He came back from the bathroom with two more beers and stood next to her at the desk as she grabbed more crackers. "Tell me about your morning," he said. "You built a playground? I'm impressed." "Oh, please don't be," she said. "The playground building operation was well orchestrated by an actual construction company. My boss and I were just there for show and for the press. I mean, the playground did actually get built. Well, started at least. And I got a few splinters in the process. But everything I did was under the very close supervision of someone who knew what she was doing." "But tell me," he sat down on the bed, "where does the construction company come from? How did they figure out where to build the playground?" "Oh, well, this has been a project that started almost as soon as my boss got into office. Low-income kids are a real priority of his and mine. We identified a few areas early on that needed safe and attractive playgrounds, and this is the first one that actually got built." He leaned back on his elbows. "Good Lord, was he doing this to torment her? Is this your modest way of saying that you found the construction company and you figured out where to build the playground?" She slipped her sandals off and rubbed her toes into the plush carpet. "Yes, to both of those things, but I'm not that modest. I just hadn't gotten there yet. I can be kind of long-winded." He laughed and motioned for her to toss him a cracker, which she did. Do you have any pictures? Alexa beamed at him and reached for her phone. She got so excited when she talked about her work. He liked that about her. He looked over her shoulder as she scrolled through the pictures of what the empty lot had been, the groundbreaking today, and some sketches of what the playground would look like when it was all finished. She was so animated in telling him about it that he couldn't stop himself from moving closer to her on the bed, close enough that their shoulders touched, that her head was almost against his chest. She turned and looked up at him. They both seemed to realize how close they were at the same time, but neither of them moved away. His hand moved to the small of her back, up her back to the nape of her neck, and back down again. He could smell her perfume, vanilla with a hint of spice. Suddenly, there was a loud knock on his door. "Drew, you ready?" "Dan, not now, not yet." He turned back toward Alexa, but she jumped off the bed and went back to the cheese and cracker table. "Yeah," he sighed and stood up. He threw open the door to Dan, who looked altogether too perky for the occasion. "Hey, man." "Oh, hey, Alexa. You almost ready for the wedding? We'll see you over there, huh?" She looked up and smiled at Dan, but didn't look at Drew. "Yeah, see you there. Is Lauren going to be on the shuttle?" she asked Dan. "She is. She's still in the room getting dressed, so you guys can ride over together. Here, let me give you her number, so you can be buddies." "See you at the church," Drew said to Alexa, willing her to look at him. She met his eyes for a second, then looked away. He was halfway to the elevator before he heard his name from behind him and turned around. "Drew, aren't you forgetting something?" she said. He could think of many things he'd forgotten to do in that hotel room, but he could say none of them with Dan standing there. "Your bow tie?" He glanced down and saw the offending garment dangling from her fingertips. "Oh, right." He took the tie from her and smiled. "If you finish the beer, save that table dance for where I can see it, please." Oh, God. She had really been about to kiss him. 1.5 beers and a few minutes of him listening to her talk, and she was ready to pounce on him. She needed someone to talk some sense into her, and right now the only person to do it was herself. "Alexa," she said out loud at her reflection in the lighted magnifying mirror. Holy shit, she really needed to pluck her eyebrows. Thank goodness she'd brought her tweezers. Wait, she needed to focus. She was talking sense to herself, remember? "Alexa Elizabeth, this is all fake. This is a fake date. This is a fake boyfriend. You can't just go around kissing hot guys who look like they come straight out of a movie set because they smile at you like that and listen to you prattle on about your job for a few minutes. Just because Maddie told you to practice flirting doesn't mean you get to practice kissing, too." She cringed to think how humiliating it would have been if she'd actually moved in to kiss him. He would have gently kissed her back for a second. Then he would have pulled back, put his hands on her shoulders, and said that he was very sorry if he'd given her the wrong impression about everything. But she wasn't really his type. All he was looking for from this evening, he would have said, was a buddy to stick by his side and repel other women. And if that was going to be a problem for her, it was totally okay for her to go home now instead of to the wedding with him. And she would have had to suck back her tears like she always did, and smile big, and say, oh no, it was probably just the beer getting to her. It would be no problem. And then things would have been awkward and weird all night. Well, it was still probably going to be awkward and weird all night, but at least that would be more subtext than text. Enough pep talk time. All she could do now was look as fabulous as she possibly could. She queued up her girl power playlist, pulled out her reddest of red lipsticks, and threw herself into getting ready. "One more with the maid of honor and best man. Amy, you give him your bouquet this time." Drew was more than ready for these pictures to stop and the wedding to begin, especially because that meant Alexa would finally get here, even though he wouldn't be anywhere near her during the wedding. At least he'd have one person on his side among his sea of blatant or veiled hostility. She hadn't texted him yet. He should check in and make sure she was on her way. You on the shuttle over here? Everyone being nice to you? A few minutes later. Just getting on now. Dan's girlfriend, Lauren, is my new date. Glad I met her last night. He smiled down at his phone. Oh, thank God, she was on her way. Wait, does that make Dan my date? I think I like you better. No offense to Dan.
Hello, Drew?
He looked up to find the rest of the wedding party, sans bride and groom, staring at him.
Stop texting your girlfriend and pay attention. She's...
Oh, shit. Close save. He'd been that close to declaring she's not my girlfriend, the way he did every time someone called some woman his girlfriend. On her way, he trailed off, as everyone stared at him.
Great. That's great.
Amy came up to him and put her arm around his waist.
But can we finish taking these pictures before the wedding starts without us?
He put a smile on his face and walked over with her to where the rest of the wedding party was waiting for him. He managed to disengage himself from Amy when the photographer ordered the bridesmaids and groomsmen to opposite sides of the church garden. The groomsmen came back into the church just as the shuttle full of people arrived. Drew searched the crowd for Alexa, and when he finally saw her, laughing at something Dan's girlfriend said, his mouth dropped open. That red dress made him want to grab her hand, pull her out of the church, and bring her back to his hotel room immediately. Josh's cousin, Bill, walked up to her before he could get there. What the hell was he doing looking at her like that? Apparently, her dress also made Drew want to tell every other man in this room that he wasn't allowed to look at her. Drew walked faster toward her. Ladies? He got to them just as Alexa was shaking Bill's hand. May I escort you to your seats? Bill smirked at him.
Sorry, Drew. I already claimed them. You snooze, you lose.
Drew narrowed his eyes at Bill and slid Alexa's arm into his.
Oh, Bill, you must have misunderstood. This one is mine.
They walked down the aisle in silence for a few seconds. Once they were out of earshot, she murmured, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt a pissing contest? I can go back to the hotel. I don't want to be in the way. He laughed and drew her closer to him.
No, don't worry about it. And I won you anyway.
She raised her eyebrows at him.
You won me? She said.
He coughed.
Wait. That came out wrong. You aren't a thing to win or whatever. Sorry about that. It's just that that dude always rubs me the wrong way.
She smiled and held onto his arm tighter. Well, I would much prefer that you win me than him, even though I am indeed not a thing to win, so I guess we agree there. He stood at the end of the pew with her, not wanting to let go quite yet.
Excuse us. Dan elbowed him aside to let Lauren into the pew.
Poor Bill. Alexa laughed up at him, cock-blocked on both sides. He didn't remember her looking this hot in the elevator.
Good job, Thursday night, Drew, for somehow knowing that she'd be this hot when she was shoeless, sitting on the elevator floor.
Oh, wait. At that point, he'd been trying not to stare at her cleavage, so maybe he had reason to know.
Whatever, he said. He needs to get his own girl and stop trying to grab someone else's.
She went up on her tiptoes and kissed his cheek.
See you at the reception.
She slid past him into the pew and sat down next to Lauren.
Save me a sandwich, he said,
just to make her laugh. It worked. Chapter 6. After the ceremony was over, Drew walked back down the aisle after Josh and Molly, with a pink chiffon-clad bridesmaid on his arm. He winked at Alexa as he walked by her, and she winked back. She and Lauren told wedding war stories on the shuttle ride to the hotel and placed bets on who in the wedding party would be wasted first. Lauren bet on Bill, but Alexa had money on Amy. When they got to the hotel, they followed the procession of guests up to the roof for cocktail hour, and hung out in a corner with glasses of champagne and plates of something that looked very much like a fancy version of pigs in a blanket. Thank goodness she bonded with Lauren at the rehearsal dinner. Otherwise, the ceremony and this part of the reception would have been awkward and lonely. She would have long ago sent dozens of SOS texts to Maddie.
It was crucial to have another woman to laugh with, go to the bathroom with, and gossip with during a wedding. When Lauren was halfway through her How I Met Dan story, Alexa realized what was coming and set her drink down on a nearby table.
"Hold that thought," she said. "I have to use the ladies' room. Guard my drink."
As soon as she walked into the hall, she pulled her phone out of her clutch.
"Hey, boyfriend, how did we meet? I can tell Lauren is about to ask me. Wanted to make sure our stories were straight."
Just as she got into the bathroom, her clutch vibrated. "The elevator. But a month ago, I was in town for that conference, remember?" Good plan. Keeping to the truth as much as possible was the best way to tell a lie. She'd learned that after working in politics for a while. Not that she made it a habit to tell lies, but when she had to, it was best that she knew how to do it believably.
"We were so happy that the wedding was back at this same hotel, weren't we?"
When she got back out to Lauren, there was another plate sitting next to her drink, along with Bill, the annoying usher.
"Bill grabbed us some crab cakes," Lauren said.
She raised her eyebrows at Alexa, where Bill couldn't see her. This was also why it was crucial to have women friends at a wedding. You needed someone to roll your eyes with at all of the creepy dudes.
"Oh, thank goodness. This drink is starting to go to my head already. I don't want to be drunk by the time the bride and groom walk in. Thanks, Bill."
"My pleasure. What's your name again?"
"Alice."
He grinned at her, his eyes dropping to her cleavage. She drained her drink.
"Alexa."
"Alexa, it looks like you need another drink." He brushed some hair from her shoulder. She forced a smile.
"I do, thank you. Champagne, please. Lauren?"
After they sent Bill off to the bar, they both cringed and went back to their conversation.
"Okay, where were we?
You reached for the last carton of eggs at the farmer's market and Dan picked them up?" Alexa had finished two more crab cakes by the time Bill was back from the bar. He handed her the drink with a big smile, his eyes on her cleavage again, and his hand on her elbow. Nothing in the world would compel her to drink that glass of champagne. She moved her clutch from her right hand to her left to shift her body away from him, but he followed.
This dude, he had about 5 seconds to back away before she'd accidentally spill the champagne on him.
"What about you and Drew? How did you two meet?" Lauren asked Alexa.
"Well," an arm went around her waist, "it was actually right here in this hotel."
She turned her head, and Drew smiled down at her.
"Hey," she said, "you guys are here."
She moved closer to Drew and relaxed against him.
"Hey, yourself."
The rest of the room washed away, and it was just this dream of a guy in a tux, golden brown eyes, his fingers stroking her hip in that way that made her wish there wasn't a layer of clothes in between them and her skin. Oh, God, she was fantasizing about him again.
"Where's Dan?" Lauren asked.
"At the bar. We both need a drink after all of those pictures." Drew leaned down, and his lips brushed her ear. "You guys weren't having too much fun without us, were you?"
"Just talking about you guys," Lauren said. "Speaking of, I'll go meet Dan at the bar. I could use another drink, too. Alexa?"
Alexa nodded, only half listening to Lauren. She could stand there all night with Drew's arm around her and his fingers skimming her waist. She felt dizzy from the touch of his hands on her body and his eyes looking down at her. It was almost too much. Bill's hand tightened on her elbow. She'd forgotten he was even there. He smirked at Drew.
"I hope you don't mind me stealing your date. But what can I say? I got back to the reception faster."
Drew pulled her closer to him and away from Bill. His fingers kept moving over Alexa's body, drawing circles up and down her waist, moving from there to the small of her back.
"Go away, Billy. The grown-ups are talking."
He shooed Bill away with his fingers without taking his eyes off Alexa. After a few seconds, Bill walked away. Alexa smiled up at Drew and opened her mouth to thank him just as his grip on her waist relaxed. Oh, He'd only been holding on to her like that to protect her from Bill. That was nice of him. She took a step back, and his arm dropped away from her. She felt colder, and much more sober than a minute before. "Thank you for that. Did you... I mean, how was everything with the wedding?" Alexa asked him, crossing her arms in front of her chest, and wishing she had that drink. He shrugged, his hands at his side. "Mostly fine. Josh was so excited, it was almost cute," Drew said, itching to touch her again. He had to keep reminding himself that she wasn't really his girlfriend, or even his real date. She hadn't signed up for him to be all over her tonight, even though he could barely keep his hands off her in that dress, even though his blood pressure had skyrocketed the second he'd seen Bill with his hand on her. "Want to go find Lauren and Dan now that we got rid of Bill?" "Now that you got rid of Bill, you mean?" She smiled up at him, and it took everything he had not to pull her back against him. But she'd stepped away as soon as he'd relaxed his arm. She probably didn't want that. They walked together toward the bar, close, but not touching.
"There you guys are," Dan said.
Lauren and Dan met them halfway, each with two drinks in their hands. "The bar is swamped, but Dan cut to the front of the line," Lauren said.
"Please take your drinks. People keep looking at us like we're lushes."
Dan handed Alexa her drink.
"And I didn't cut. I'm a groomsman. We get front-of-the-line privileges at the bar. Didn't you know that?"
He laughed.
"Plus, I tip well. It's the only way to guarantee a heavy pour at an open bar."
"Oh, you guys were telling me the story of how you met," Lauren said. Oh, good. Now he had an excuse to touch Alexa. "Right here in this hotel," he said, as he reached for her hand. "We were stuck in the elevator for a while together, and she made me laugh the whole time, even though she openly refused to share the snacks in her purse with me." She interrupted.
"Okay, he says that like I was sitting there eating and ostentatiously not giving him any, which was not the case. He looked in my purse, without my permission, mind you, saw that I had snacks, and tried to sweet-talk me into giving them to him instead of to my sister. Probably the first time anyone has ever said no to our Drew. No wonder he was intrigued. Amy, just who he needed right now."
Alexa gave Amy one of those big, bright smiles like people gave toddlers.
"Amy, you certainly won the Maid of Honor lottery with that dress, didn't you? You all look so darling in that pale pink."
Amy's eyes narrowed at the compliment. The night before, one of the bridesmaids had mentioned that Amy had pushed hard for black dresses, but Molly and their mom had insisted on pink, even though Amy claimed the color was juvenile and that it clashed with her hair. Drew squeezed Alexa's fingers, since he couldn't laugh out loud. She squeezed back. Amy's hand was resting on the table, right by Drew's. Was that her pinky finger rubbing against his?
Yep, yep, it was.
He put his arm around Alexa to move closer to her and away from Amy.
"Your dress is great, too," Amy said to Alexa. "I almost bought a dress like that for a wedding I went to last month, but I realized I was just too skinny for it. So glad you can make a dress like that work."
Drew felt Alexa stiffen. He ran his hand up and down her back, not sure if he was trying to calm her or himself down. Probably both, because Amy's words had gotten his blood pressure up again.
"Thanks so much," Alexa said, lifting up her champagne glass and taking a sip. "I always figure, if you've got them, flaunt them."
She gestured to her breasts, causing him, and he quickly realized, their whole group, to stare at them for a second. Okay, maybe longer than a second. When he eventually raised his eyes to hers, she smirked at him. He grinned back.
"Ladies and gentlemen," someone said over the microphone, "please welcome Josh and Molly Rogers."
They all dutifully turned to the entryway and clapped as the bride and groom entered. Amy disappeared to the other side of the room, but he didn't move his hand from around Alexa, and she didn't move away this time.
Okay, fine. She had to admit to herself that she was smitten with him.
It was past time for talking sense into herself. At this point, she just had to ride it out for the rest of the night. She knew it was all fake. She knew because she'd been reminding herself of that. But it didn't matter. Not when he was touching her like that. At first, she tried to give him space. After Bill had moved away, Drew obviously hadn't wanted to keep up the pretense, so she'd backed away. But they told their real, fake story to Lauren and Dan, and he introduced her to a million people, and all of those things necessitated them holding hands at a minimum. Or so at least he seemed to think. And it's not like she was going to disagree with him there. So she kept her hand in his, and her smile aimed at him. And boy, did it feel good. Fake or not. At dinner, they were at one end of the huge wedding party table, along with Amy, a few bridesmaids, and creepy Bill, with Lauren and Dan all the way at the far end. Well, at least she'd had lots of practice eating food with people who were hostile to her. She discovered tonight that working in politics had given her a lot of skills useful for being a pretend girlfriend. Drew was talking to Amy, who was on the other side of him, so Alexa chatted away with the bridesmaid sitting next to her. While they ate their entrees, pork chop encrusted with chopped almonds for her, chicken cordon bleu for him, he turned back to her while Amy complained to the waiter about something or other. "How's your food?" "Good, actually," she said after swallowing. "Better than your typical wedding food. Want some?" She cut a piece and held out her fork to him. He recoiled. Was this too familiar for someone she'd just met 2 days before? Did he forget he was supposed to be her boyfriend in this scenario? Or maybe he hated sharing food. Whatever it was, it didn't make her feel great. Amy leaned around Drew to laugh at Alexa. "You trying to kill Drew already? What did he do now?" Alexa raised her eyebrows at Drew. Now she was pretty sure what the problem was, but she was interested to hear how he was going to play this one off. "Oh," Drew leaned forward and put his hand on her shoulder. "I guess this hasn't come up yet, but I'm allergic to nuts." He hated himself for that hurt feeling that had crossed her face before that very bright, and he suspected very fake, smile had flashed back on. He rubbed his hand down her arm, trying to apologize with his touch in the way he couldn't with words. Not with all of these people listening. "Weird, because that was one of the first things you told Molly," Amy said. "I remember her telling me that." Was Amy actually suspicious, like he'd wondered last night? Or was she just being a bitch? "Molly and I were in med school at the time. Things like that were more at the front of our minds." He turned halfway to Amy, his hand still on Alexa's arm. "Alexa and I have been busy with other things, but I figured it would come up. And look, it has." The conversation around them moved on to how good the mashed potatoes were, Josh's stepfather's faux pas at the ceremony, whether people thought the DJ would be good or not. As soon as Amy pontificated loudly about how she told Molly to get a band instead, he moved his chair closer to Alexa and turned so his lips were almost against her ear. "That was all my fault. I'm so sorry. Probably should have let you know about my deathly allergy before we ate a meal together." "It's okay." He could hear the smile in her voice. "Almost killing my date makes a wedding exciting." He laughed. "Okay, good. She wasn't mad at him." "No chance of that. We're surrounded by doctors, remember? I bet at least 10 people have EpiPens on them, just for kicks." Did she realize her hand was resting on his thigh? It was probably just because of the way he was sitting right against her, so he could whisper. Her hand was probably on his thigh by default. He didn't care. He just wished there was a way to keep it there. "Alexa, I'm heading to the ladies' room. Want to come with?" He liked Dan's girlfriend, Lauren, but he could cheerfully kill her right now. Did she have any allergies? He watched Alexa as she crossed the room, laughing about something or other with Lauren. "Yep, still hot in that dress from this angle." For a second, he wondered what the night would have been like if Alexa wasn't there with him. That was easy. Miserable. With her here, though, it had been more than okay. Fun, even, which is the last thing he thought this wedding would be. "Another drink?"
Dan plopped down in the seat next to him.
What?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You've got it bad with that one. Nice going.
Dan jerked his head in the direction of where Lauren and Alexa had disappeared. Drew had no idea how to respond to that, so he just shrugged and smiled.
Yeah, Bill slurred. I'd hit that one. I've always wanted to bang a black girl. What's it like, Drew?
Drew didn't realize he'd stood up until he felt Dan pull him in the direction of the bar. He resisted for a second, the rage in his bloodstream pushing him to charge at Bill. But after a second or two, he allowed himself to be dragged away. Dan waved at the bartender, who promptly set two neat whiskeys at the end of the bar for them.
I could throw him off the roof, he said to Dan, once he calmed down enough to speak.
You could, Dan said, and you probably should. But maybe
wait until after the wedding? Too many witnesses right now.
Drew picked up his drink and looked around the room for Alexa. At least she hadn't heard Bill.
All I know is that I'm keeping him the hell away from Alexa for the rest of the night.
Lauren ran up to her room to retrieve her lipstick, so Alexa killed some time texting Maddie an update from inside one of the bathroom stalls. All of a sudden, her ears perked up at a conversation by the sinks.
I thought Drew was the one to break up with Molly.
He was. He totally destroyed her when he did it, too.
That was Amy.
But I bet he was pissed when Josh and Molly started dating, she laughed. When he gets rid of that date of his, I have an idea for a place he can find someone who looks a lot like Molly.
The conversation faded as they left the bathroom. Drew had told her Molly had broken up with him, hadn't he? Had he lied to her, or was she remembering things wrong? 30 seconds later, while looking in the mirror, she got another hit to the psyche. One glance down at her clutch to take out her lipstick, and when she looked back up, she was flanked by thin, blonde women. All three of them were in cocktail dresses, shorter and tighter than anything she'd dare to wear because of her thighs and hips and butt. Their perky little breasts were obviously unencumbered by bras, and their long, thin legs looked even longer and thinner because of their sky-high heels. And there she was, in between them, in the dress that her friends would say made her look voluptuous, which was just another word for fat. She couldn't believe Maddie had convinced her not to wear Spanx. She'd felt great in that dress just a few hours ago when she left Drew's hotel room. But was that just beer and flattering lighting? Maddie had never steered her wrong before. But then Maddie was her friend and loved her. Maddie would give her tough love about many things in life, but she would never say something bad about her body. That was the problem with good friends. They were too damn supportive sometimes. And she'd spent the night falling deeper and deeper in lust with Drew, with those damn tingles every time he touched her. And the whole time, he was probably looking at all of those other women, wishing he was with one of them. She needed to shake this off to get through the rest of this night. Pep talk in the hallway time. Okay, Alexa Elizabeth Monroe, she said in her head. None of this matters, remember? You're just here because you told Olivia and Maddie about it before you realized you should back out. You're wearing a great dress, you're drinking some free alcohol and eating good food, and you're going to leave in... She started when she felt a hand on her shoulder, mid-mental pep talk. Not Drew's. How was it that she already knew his touch? She shook off that question and turned to find Lauren behind her.
There you are. Dan texted me that he and Drew were over at the bar. Let's go find them.
They found them at the bar, all right. Drew, Dan, and Amy. Alexa sighed. Maybe she needed another pep talk. Amy's little dig about being too skinny for a dress like Alexa's had already been ringing in her ears, and now she was standing there with her hands all over Drew. The cotton candy pink did look ridiculous on her, at least.
Hey, Drew said, as Alexa and Lauren approached. He felt like he'd been scanning the room for her for an hour. You guys found us.
He stepped away from Amy and put his arm around Alexa's waist.
Now, are you guys coming? Amy asked.
Alexa turned and looked up at him with a question in her eyes. Before he could answer it, Amy grabbed his hand.
"They're going to cut the cake, remember?" she said.
Yeah, he remembered. Amy had been bugging him about it for the past 5 minutes. Why he had to stand around and watch two people put a fake cut into a huge cake, he'd never understand. Plus, he'd rather stand over here, in the corner, with his arm around Alexa's waist.
"In a second, Amy. We'll meet you over there."
Amy huffed and walked away.
He turned his full attention back to Alexa. But instead of looking back up at him, like he wanted her to do, she stared after Amy with a weird look on her face.
"Come on," she said. "They're cutting the cake. Let's go watch."
He reached for her hand as they walked across the ballroom and was glad when she took it. Was she upset about the allergy thing? She'd barely even glanced at him when she came back from the bathroom. As they stood in the crowd, surrounding Josh and Molly, she gripped his hand and stared fixedly ahead with that big smile from before planted firmly on her face.
"Are we cool?" he said in her ear. She jumped. Something occurred to him.
"Is something wrong? Did Bill say anything to you?"
She turned to him with her eyebrows raised.
"Bill? No, why?"
He looked into her eyes, but she seemed to be genuinely confused.
Okay, Bill hadn't gotten to her, and it seemed like no one had told her what Bill had said.
"Nothing. Don't worry about it," he said. "It wasn't a big deal."
Her eyes didn't move from his face.
Fine. He wouldn't have believed himself either.
"I'll tell you later," he said, wondering if that would work.
It didn't.
Her laughter had no mirth in it. The crowd around them oohed and aahed at the stupid cake. She put her finger on his chin and tilted his head down to be level with her own.
"It was either something gross about my body or something racist."
"Which one?" she asked.
Around them, people toasted to Josh and Molly. Alexa let go of him and raised her glass. He lifted his by rote and drank.
"The latter," he said, after a few long moments. She took another sip of her drink.
"He seemed like that kind of a guy," she said.
Molly came up to them before he had a chance to apologize for Bill.
"Drew, Alexa, hi. Alexa, I didn't get a chance to say earlier, you look so beautiful tonight."
Molly was red-cheeked and beaming, not quite drunk, but definitely tipsy. Drew knew the signs.
"Oh, Molly, thank you so much, but you look stunning. That dress is incredible, and this wedding has been so lovely. Thank you so much for welcoming me," Alexa said, squeezing Molly's hand.
No one would have been able to tell from the look on her face that they'd just been having a kind of tense conversation.
"You are so kind. I'm so delighted that Drew has found you," Molly said.
So was he realized. "So am I," he said, and slid his arm around Alexa's waist. She relaxed against him, and he sighed in relief.
"Oh, you two are so adorable," Molly said.
Okay, maybe she was more on the drunk side of the spectrum.
"Anyway, I wanted to let Alexa know that I'm about to throw my bouquet."
A look of horror flashed over Alexa's face before she covered it with that now familiar big, bright smile. Big, bright, fake smile.
"Oh," Alexa said to Molly. "Okay, great."
Molly hugged both of them again and fluttered to the middle of the dance floor, collecting bridesmaids and female wedding guests as she went.
"I guess I should go over there."
Alexa drained her champagne glass and handed it to him, but made no move toward the dance floor.
"You don't have to sound quite so excited about it."
He pushed her in Molly's direction. She rolled her eyes at him, but walked over and joined the gaggle of women in cocktail dresses. Lauren caught her arm and said something that caused Alexa to double over in laughter. He wanted to know what had made her laugh like that and how he could duplicate it. Not only to see that glimpse of her boobs in that red bra, but partly to see that. As soon as the bouquet left Molly's hand, Alexa and Lauren took slow, steady steps backward. After a scuffle, one of the bridesmaids triumphantly raised the bouquet, but his eyes were on Alexa. By that time, at the far end of the dance floor, he saw Alexa and Lauren turn to each other with identical fake pouts on their faces. This time, he was the one who doubled over laughing. Dan nudged him.
"Should we be insulted?"
Dan gestured in the direction of Lauren and Alexa, clapping and pouting as the bridesmaid waved the bouquet. Drew laughed again.
"Nah, I think we should be feeling pretty smug that we're dating the smartest women in the room," Drew told him.
Alexa and Lauren had formed a circle with a few other women, all dancing to Single Ladies with their hands in the air. "Shall we join them?" Alexa danced with Lauren, letting the movement and the laughter shake away her annoying thoughts. When she felt a hand on her waist, she turned to see Drew behind her and laughed again at how ridiculous the evening had been and how much fun she was suddenly having. He took hold of one of her hands and swung her around to face him and laughed back down at her. Other members of the wedding party joined their group and danced with and around them. But song after song came on, and he never moved from her side. "Water?" he said in her ear, after they'd been on the dance floor for a long time. "Yes, please." She walked with him over to the bar. She glanced up at the ornate clock over the bar, surprised at how late it had gotten, and how much she didn't want this night to end. Damn it, it had been fun to be Drew's fake girlfriend. But she knew that once the clock struck midnight, so to speak, the fairy tale would be all over. He leaned against the bar, his jacket off, his bow tie untied, a little sweaty and disheveled from dancing. Good Lord, this guy was hot. He rolled up his sleeves, exposing his tan forearms. She wanted to run her fingers up and down them and feel how warm and strong they were. She needed to stop letting her imagination run away with her. She said, "it's getting late, and if I want to make the last BART train back to the East Bay, I should probably leave pretty soon." Why had she said that? Why, when she was standing next to a hot guy, basically panting over him? If she was Maddie, hell, if she was Amy, she would have grabbed one of those hot forearms and wrapped it around her body, letting him know what she wanted without having to say anything. Sadly, she was Alexa, so she would flee instead. He put his water bottle down and looked at her.
"Okay."
"Okay," she said. Olivia and Maddie would get mad at her for not throwing herself at him, but they didn't understand that she just didn't know how. Plus, rejection from this guy was the last thing her self-esteem needed. Talk about the opposite of getting back on the horse. That would make her avoid horses and stables and all farm animals for another few years, so to speak. He stepped closer to her and put his hand on her waist. Her hand landed on his arm, and without even meaning to, she ran her fingers up and down. Oh, God, touching him like this was as good as she thought it would be. Or, he looked straight down into her eyes. "You could stay." A question was in his eyes, and a smile hovered over his lips. His thumb drew slow circles on her hip, and then moved up her side to her ribs. His other hand moved up to her face and traced the outline of her lips with his fingers. She shivered. He waited. "Or," she said, "I could stay." He pulled her against him and kissed her. Their lips clung together softly at first, then with more urgency. He tasted like bourbon and chocolate cake and everything she'd ever craved. She sighed against his lips and murmured his name, and she could feel his smile. Her hands moved into his hair, that hair that she'd been wanting to touch all night, and he kissed her harder. His hand cupped her cheek, and the gentle touch on her skin as she felt the heat of his mouth had her nerve endings on fire. It seemed like they were all alone in that crowded ballroom. The people and the noise swirled around them as his lips touched hers, his tongue slid inside her mouth, his body pressed up against hers. They pulled apart for a moment, and he smiled down at her. "I've been wanting to do that all night," he said, his golden brown eyes staring straight into hers. He kissed her cheek, her ear, her collarbone. His tongue traced her lips before he claimed her mouth again.
She moved her hand in between them so she could touch his chest, wishing there was no fabric under her fingers, but just his skin. Her touch seemed